Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Helen Burns and I am delighted at the opportunity of being at a church that also carries the heart of this city. So how wonderful it is to be able to share from my heart to your heart. So today, I am going to be speaking around this word, the word generosity. And it's a word that I love. It is a spirit that I love. And it's something that I sure want to emulate in my life. And today, I believe, is an invitation to a really big, generous life. Why not live the best life possible? And this message was really prompted out of just a recent celebration of life service that I attended for my beautiful Tante Berta. Can you tell I'm German? That is my my upbringing. And she was 91 when she went to heaven. And she was such an example of a generous life. And I look at her life and tributes that were given to her. And I think about, though she wasn't famous in this world, and not many people have known her, it was interesting who stood to want to give honor to who she was. And I certainly would have been one of those that honored her life so immensely. But I think of someone like a David Bentall, who is someone of the family that is well known in Vancouver and owns a lot of real estate and has made a big difference in the Christian world and also in the business world here in Vancouver, how he honored her life because she served that family for four decades. And I love that she in that world. And then there was another family that was there from Paraguay, South America, which is the place where our parents were born and my Tante Berta was born. And there was a family there that had come to Vancouver, was coming to Vancouver to study at Regent College for 3 years. And so my Uncle Pete and Tante Berta said, come and just live with us for those years with your three children. And the difference that that generosity made in their life. And sometimes when you are at a funeral service, it is so obvious what kind of a life this person lived. And if there was one word that would frame my beautiful Tante Berta's life, it would be that she was generous. And so this is really prompted out of living the best life possible, because I think a generous life truly is a beautiful life. It's a heaven-kissed life. And it's not just generosity in finances, because so often we relegate generosity to how we spend our finances. And while that is absolutely part of the equation, it's not everything. It's generous with your words. How generous are we with our words of encouragement and of love? How generous are we with acts of kindness to go the extra mile rather than just do what's expected? Generosity goes beyond. And I think we need to be, as Christ followers, the go beyond kind of people. Generous with our time, generous with our attention. When you're with someone, do they give your attention in a generous way, or do you kind of hold back and just kind of give them a bit of a brush off? Generosity is remembered. Generous with your prayers. When we pray for people, it makes a difference, not just now, but for eternity. I think of the prayers that my Tante Berta would have prayed. They are not now forever forgotten. That they have a life and keep giving. And that is very much the heart of God and the heart of generosity. And so the scripture that I want to share with you today, there will be a number of them, and they're all good ones because the Bible is so good. But I'm going to share out of Psalm 112, verses 1 through 9. And I'm going to read this from the Message Bible, which was written by Eugene Peterson. And I love how God wrote the Bible, but it's his translation. But I love how he puts this. He says, hallelujah, blessed man, blessed woman who fear God, who cherish and relish his commandments, their children robust on the earth and the homes of the upright. How blessed. Their houses brim with wealth and a generosity that never runs dry. Sunrise breaks through the darkness for good people. God's grace and mercy and justice. The good person is generous and lends lavishly. No shuffling or stumbling around for this one, but a sterling and solid and lasting reputation. Unfazed by rumor and gossip, heart ready, trusting in God, spirit firm, unperturbed, ever blessed, relaxed amongst enemies. They lavish gifts on the poor a generosity that goes on and on and on. An honored life, a beautiful life. How beautiful is that? I just want to pray. Father, I pray that this word today, as we look at your word and just heart of who you are, a generous, a loving, a giving God, the most generous person that ever walked this earth was you, Jesus. And so today we come, hearts open and ready to receive your word and your invitation to live much more generously than we are today. God, the path of the righteous, it says in Proverbs chapter 4, grows brighter and brighter. And that, I believe, God, is the very heart of what generosity looks like when it flows from you to the world around us through us. Bless each one today, I pray, in Jesus' name. So an honored life, a beautiful life, is the byproduct of a generous life. The greatest generosity this world would ever know, the greatest, there's nothing that could be compared. The most generous life we could ever look at is the life of our Savior Jesus, who gave everything, held nothing back, that though we didn't deserve it, while we were yet sinners, he died for us, gave his very life so that we could have life. And so that is our example. And as ones who follow Jesus, who call ourselves Christians, I believe this needs to be the signature over our lives as well, that help burns. Whatever your name is, put it in there, lives a very generous life. Not just lived a generous life, every single day of her life lives with a spirit of generosity. Generosity flows from the very bounty of his love, and that love lives in us. As believers, it's not like we're looking for this somewhere. It is in us. It's kind of like the commercial that we see for the blood services, for the Canadian blood services. Blood is in you to give. Well, generosity, church, it is in us to give. Not to hold on to, it is to give. Because to whom much is given, and we have been given much, much is required. And it's from his very heart that we can live this kind of a wholehearted and unhindered life of generosity. Let's give it all. Let us give it all. Because here's the hard truth, and it's an important truth, that the generosity of your life has to be spent while you're here on earth. Whether we live to be 16 years of age or 116, we have to spend it. We don't know the timeline. God knows the timeline. But while we're here on earth, generosity, that I want to pour it all out. I'm going to quote my husband right here. He usually says, if I die and there's any gas left in my tank, I'm going to be ticked off. What is he saying by that? He's saying, I've got things to do. I have capacity within me, and I don't want to hold anything back. I want to give it all away, and I believe that is actually the invitation, and it is an invitation for every one of us as Christ followers. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 says this, some people store treasures in their homes here on earth. This is a short-sighted practice. Don't undertake it. Moths and rust will eat up any treasure you may store here. Thieves may break into your homes and steal your precious trinkets. Instead, put up your treasures in heaven, where moths cannot attack, where rust does not corrode, and where thieves are barred at the door. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me say that one more time. For where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. So if you want to know what you truly treasure, what is your heart following after? In the Passion Translation, it says, for your heart will always pursue what you esteem as your treasure. It's not that hard to really look at what your heart is invested into. If you looked at your bank account, you'll know where you spend your money. If you look at your time, if you look at your relationships, we can actually quite accurately determine who has our attention. Is it the things of God and the people of God and the plans and purposes of God, or do we spend it on ourselves? And so here's a question for us to ponder today. What is your heart busy pursuing today? Pay attention to that. And I think it's good to sometimes ask somebody else to say, let's talk about this. What do you think are the things that I value most? Because so often we say, well, we value family. We value the kingdom of God. We value the church family. But does it really have our heart, our time, our talent, our treasure? It's good to actually do a bit of a checkup on that and take a pulse on where we're actually at. What does the gauge read? Not our good intentions. We so often measure ourselves by our good intentions, but we need to measure ourselves actually by how we are living out our lives and our days. One of my favorite scripture is in Psalm chapter 90, verse 2. In the New King James Version, it says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. And this scripture, what it is doing is in teaching us how to live life with intention, to actually teach us to number our days. Do you and I know how many days we have? We don't. I don't know. I hope I have many days left, but I don't know. So I don't want to waste today. It says, teach us to number our days so that we will live with a heart of wisdom. I want to do that. So what is a generous spirit? I have 10 things I'm going to share with you today. I promise I'm not going to keep you here all day. But there are 10 things I just want to. It's a little bit of a checkup. If you're taking notes today, and I encourage you to, go back and ask yourself these questions. Sometimes it's kind of good to engage yourself. Maybe put down a 1 to 5. 1 being, I need to grow in this. Or 5 saying, I feel like I'm growing. I'm doing pretty good in this. And maybe talk about this with somebody else. But it's good to sometimes take a look and do a bit of a checkup and see how we're going. So what is a generous spirit? There's so many words that I could use around this, but it's someone who's open-handed, that is charitable, that is big-hearted, and your heart can grow. It can always keep growing, and it can grow bigger and bigger. And so it says in Proverbs 11 and 24, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. You want a big life? You want a big, beautiful, generous life? This is what you do. You give away. You pour into others. You sow seeds. It's like, as someone said, you don't know how many apples, you can count how many seeds are in an apple, but you don't know how many apples are in a seed. Because if you plant it, bounty is going to come from it. But when you hang on to it, nothing grows. So the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. You get to decide whether your life is big and beautiful or whether it's small and crowded with just you in the middle of it. So how do we live from a generous spirit? My point number one, a generous spirit is born out of revelation. It's a revelation that respects the purposes of God. It's revelation that empowers you to release what's in your hand and what's in your heart. Jesus did not coerce the disciples to follow him. He didn't force them. He gave them an invitation. Drop your nets, follow me. It was an invitation to a really big life. And they had no idea how big their life would grow. And yes, there was a cost to it, because there is a cost to discipleship. So often we've made it sloppy and just, no, there's no cost. No, there's a cost to following Jesus, but it's one that I would gladly live to have the life that I can have with Christ. And so that revelation opens your eyes to the purpose of God. A generous life is one that recognizes there is a purpose on my life, and I do not want to live a small version of the life that God has purposed me for. I want to live the whole life, all that he has for me. I believe that those disciples threw down their nets or whatever they were invited to do, whether they were tax collectors, and what a motley crew. And if God can pick them, he can pick me too. I haven't got it all together. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the most educated. But you know what? My hand's up. God, here I am. Use me. I want to be used for your purposes. In Acts chapter 4, we read about the early church. In verse 12, it says, all the believers were one in mind and heart. Selfishness was not a part of their community. And the antithesis of selfishness, of course, is generosity. Shared everything they had with one another. They received an invitation. They got a revelation of in the early church. They didn't know what was all going on, but they had a revelation of Jesus, and they gave their hearts freely. And when they gave their hearts freely to Jesus, they actually opened up their lives, and all the needs they had were met because they were of one mind, one heart, and one spirit. Back in 1986, God spoke so clearly to John and I, and he gave us an invitation. That made no sense whatsoever. And he said, in the same way that he would have talked to the disciples to drop their fishing nets, it was like John was invited to lay down his dental drills. John was a dentist. We were living a beautiful life. God had met us in the most glorious way. We had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Our marriage had been healed. God was doing amazing things in our lives, and we were so on fire for Jesus. And we're so busy wanting to build the church. And there was one day that, which would never have seemed possible, and for many, many reasons that I could share, but just for the sake of brevity, I told you I have 10 points. God just said, here, plant a church. I am inviting you to plant a church. Did we know what we were doing? No. But did we want to follow Jesus? Yes. And so there was a day that we both came along and said, this is what we're called to do. And so we adventured into what would seem like the unknown. And in January, it will be 40 years ago, that we planted Relate Church, formerly known as Victory Christian Center. Do I have any regrets? No. Have I been so surprised at what God has done through our lives? Absolutely blown away. And I think that what we had to do is say, God, your way. It was revelation. God, you're inviting us into this. And so, God, here we go. I didn't know what this adventure would look like, and I could write volumes and volumes of the wonders of what God has done. But it all started with a choice, a revelation that God was inviting us to lay down dentistry, which we earned a really good income at, going to a very small income. But you see, when you lay things down for the purposes of God, he keeps the books and he takes care of you. So I am forever grateful for the privilege of pastoring a church that we have led. It'll be 40 years. Like I said, we transitioned a few years ago, but we're there like a dirty shirt. Every once in a while, I get to come along to a church like Calvary, and I'm so grateful. But yeah, we're busy serving God at Relate Church today and love it more than ever. So it's born out of revelation. Secondly, a generous spirit operates from a position of strength. And this is important. When you have the capacity to operate in a spirit of generosity, you are in a position of strength. And whenever we initiate anything for the purpose of blessing someone else, we are in a position of strength. You are strong. I want to say this to all of you. You are stronger than you think you are. You have more than you think that you have. So often we look at what we don't have, and I want to encourage you. If God is inviting you to do something, recognize you are in a position of strength. Do you tend to look at what you don't have rather than what you do have? Because you will choose whether you operate out of a position of strength or weakness. And your generosity will determine the measure of your capacity. If you want more, come with a big, big dump truck and ready to receive, not with a tiny little teaspoon. Watch what God will do. The story that is so obvious, the one that I should share here, is the widow woman, who in Luke chapter 21, she's got 2 pennies. And yet, she gave everything that she had. Think of the loaves and the fishes. We could look at the masses of people that needed to be fed, over 5,000 people. And we could look at a loaf of bread and a few fish and go, this is impossible. Of course it's impossible. But with God and his invitation and his power upon it, it's more than enough. So that little boy giving his lunch that day, I don't know if his mom talked him into it, but he gave his lunch. And that lunch fed over 5,000 people. Think of the blessing of that little boy watching God use his little lunch to feed the masses. Don't hold back. When you know that God is inviting you into this, open up and see what God can do. And there's another example. Here's the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18. He asked Jesus, what can I do to have eternal life? What must I do to follow you? He had been doing everything right. He was like textbook perfect in everything he was doing. And Jesus looked at him and said, there's one thing you're missing in your life. You must go and sell everything you own and give all the proceeds to the poor so that you will have eternal treasures. Note, eternal treasures. Then come and follow me. And when the rich young ruler heard these words, he was devastated, for he was extremely wealthy. Here's the crux of the matter. This young man sadly operated from a position of weakness rather than strength. And if we look at these two people, the widow or the little boy with the loaves and fishes, they looked like they were the weak ones. They were the strong ones. And yet the rich young ruler, he sabotaged his life's purpose by not cooperating with the purpose and the plan of God through a spirit of generosity. Thirdly, a generous spirit operates out of conviction and commitment, not convenience. It'll never feel convenient. Was it convenient? We had three little girls at a thriving dental practice. It wasn't convenient to change and go into an upheaval with our life. But I believe that it was the greatest invitation to the greatest joy. We didn't know it. It wasn't convenient. And many times it has been inconvenient. And we could easily have said, let's go back to what we did before. No, no, no. John knew that it would be way too easy to go back to the life we had before. So he cut all of, he just burned the bridges. Let's go. If we're going to do this, we're doing it all the way so that we cannot go back. And we didn't want to ever go back to what felt convenient or easy. We wanted to follow Jesus. We sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And that is exactly what we need to do. Yes, it's costly at times. Following Jesus, as I said already, there is a cost to discipleship. And it will involve commitment and conviction day after day after day. And some days are easier than others. Number four, a generous spirit comes from a sensitive heart. When we're sensitive to the needs of others, our hearts will respond. A person with a sensitive heart does not need to be asked. They will see it and they will respond to the need. How often have we seen a problem and thought, someone should do something about that? Can I tell you that it's probably an invitation from God asking you to step up? Have you walked around church and thought, oh, someone needs to help with the nursery? I'm sure the nursery's perfect, but someone should do that, or the parking lot, or weed the garden, something. If you see it, why not put your hand up and say, I'll do this, because this is the reality. The need is the call. Be generous in responding to opportunities being presented to you. The story of the man who had been beaten up on the side of the road. Two people on their way to church walked by, but one stopped, the most unlikely stopped. The need was the call. He didn't go to Bible college and get all of his credentials in order to help someone who just needed to get to a hospital. And this man showed up, and we know him as the Good Samaritan. And if you read the history books, you know that it was the most likely person responding. And often we think we're too unlikely. Why would God use me? If I think about John, who was a stutterer for most of his life, he could never have imagined that God would use him to preach the gospel. But you see, if God asks you to do something, he's going to equip you and put in your hand and your heart whatever it takes to do it. So number five, a generous spirit will always initiate provision. Generosity chooses to invest time, talent, and treasure for the purpose of the kingdom. They choose to initiate their giving. They freely open up the cupboards of their lives and release provision. There's a beautiful scripture here again from the Message. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13 says, dear, dear Corinthians. I always think you're in trouble if they say, dear, dear. Or if I hear, Helen, Helen. But I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. And so I love this example. I feel like God stocked the cupboard of our lives. So I didn't get what everybody else got. You know, some people sing so beautifully. I don't. I can barely keep a tune. There's some things I can do, but there's a lot of things that I can't do. And I love the analogy of a chocolate cake. And you go into your cupboard, and you want to make a delicious, yummy chocolate cake, which I really like. I love chocolate. But here's the thing. Everyone has to open up their cupboard and bring what they have. So one person might have cocoa. One person may have the eggs. One person has flour, another baking powder, another a bit of salt. All of the different ingredients, butter, whatever oil, whatever it takes. None of those ingredients taste fantastic on their own. But everybody opens up their cupboard and brings what they have. Now we have something beautiful. And that's what kingdom life looks like. You open up your cupboard. I open up my cupboard. And together we can create something beautiful. And I love that because so often we look again at what we don't have. But what do you have? You may be baking powder. Yay! We need you. You may be chocolate or sugar. On their own, not so great. But in the equation, pretty fantastic. Number 6, a generous spirit is motivated by honor. Let me say this, church, with all conviction. Give God your best, not your leftovers. Give him your best when it comes to tithing, when it comes to generosity, when it comes to our time and our treasure and our talent. Don't give your leftovers. Give your best. As you do, it will come back to you. To honor God is to give him the first and the best. Honor the Lord, it says in Proverbs 3:9, with your substance and the first fruits of your increase. And this has to be true, I think, in every realm of life. And again, quoting my husband, he says, love that doesn't cost you is just a feeling. Let's go beyond feelings and emotions and give with heart and with passion. Amen. Number 7, a generous spirit has no hidden agenda. True generosity will never be transactional. It's a principle that when we give, we will receive. But the purpose of giving is just to give. People hoping to get recognition or applause or rewards don't have sincere generosity. There cannot be any hidden agenda and no need to be noticed. You just give for the purpose of giving. That is full stop. Just that's what you do it for. And that's where the blessing is. Number 8, a generous spirit arises in times of crisis and need. Jesus chose to go to the cross because there was such a need. Wow. And we could just talk about that forever. We needed help. We needed deliverance. We needed a Savior. And our Savior Jesus stepped in a time of crisis and need. And so I feel like God is asking us to step in with his heart into the crisis. We know there is a crisis in our city, a crisis in our nation, a crisis in our world. And we're here right now for such a time as this to be a part of the solution. Luke chapter 10 says, the harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. Pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send out more workers for his fields. So when is the last time you and I responded to a crisis? You saw something and your heart just went out. I think of something, I'm not going to mention what it is, but something that I had to do not long ago that was very difficult. And it was uncomfortable because I thought, what if they don't understand why I want to do this for them? But I stepped into that and I feel like God just nudged me and said, Helen, go. And I'm like, but what if they don't respond? What if I'm stepping over a line? And God said, I put that in your heart. You've been praying for this person. Go and do this. And I saw there was such a need. And I am so grateful that I was not afraid to step into that moment and kind of take a risk to avail myself to their need and say, can I help? I'm here. And I'm so grateful. It's always an invitation to generosity. And the last 2 points kind of go together, but number 9, a generous spirit will always get God's attention and attract the favor and the provision of God. And this story in the Bible in Mark chapter 12 is one of my favorite. It says here, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd. Watched the crowd. It gets God's attention. Putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in those 2 small copper coins worth only a few cents. And then Jesus, in verse 43, says, calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything she had to live in. I love that it says here in verse 33, calling his disciples to go. It was like, come and check this woman out. Look at her. Look at her generosity. Others were parading and giving loudly into the buckets, but Jesus's eye was on this widow as she gave everything. And he wanted the disciples to see a true spirit of generosity. My 10th point is just a statement. You are generous. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have generosity living on the inside of you. So often we look at people and say, oh, they just have a spirit of generosity, like they were born with it. No one's born with a spirit of generosity. If you think of a child, how long does it take them to say, mine? That's how we live. It's mine. Generosity is a spirit. It's not a personality trait. It is a character trait that is born out of revelation, as I said on my first point, of the character and the nature of God. So today feels to me like an invitation to grow bigger, to do more, to live a more exciting life, because I don't know that there is a more exciting life than following Jesus with a spirit of generosity pouring through you. Amen? I want to pray for you. Thank you, Lord, for every person today. Father, that is listening to this message and feeling stirred in their heart, perhaps, to grow in their generosity. I pray that they would take a look at their own lives, not at somebody else's, but their very own lives, and say, God, is there something you're inviting me into there where I can live a bigger, in a greater spirit of generosity and leave more for your purposes? God, I thank you that, as I shared already, that generosity lives in us because you do. Love lives in us because you do. Faith lives in us because you do. And so, God, I pray we would operate out of that beautiful spirit of generosity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Bless you.